Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Bad Samaritan is treated poorly by the moviegoers. We'll break all that down and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Ho ho! Welcome everybody to the Mess Show on streaming platforms worldwide. I've claimed that right now.
Show? What?
The best show. Absolutely.
Best.
The best.
Oh.
The best. Rest show.
The rest show.
The rest. Get the heck out of here.
Yes.
Best in the rest.
That's right. Welcome everybody to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Of course, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we... About the box office that lie ahead.
Did he say it? I couldn't even hear you. I was going to keep going forever. That's what I was
You weren't that
say.
Loud.
Oh,
I didn't hear.
Is that better?
Yes.
Well, okay.
I mean,
world's better.
Is that better?
I'm Frank Moran.
I'm Carrie Lynn.
I'm Amy.
Neil Plumley.
Just only Amy. Today
just
she's
Amy, because, you know.
She's gotten rid of the other names. She doesn't need him anymore. Just refer to her only as Amy. She's gone.
It's just like Oprah.
She That's aims right. not yeah. to waste your time.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, making us look good and sound even better, Anthony in the booth.
I'm trying, Frank. I'm trying.
Well, easy with these three, hard with this.
A lot of people don't know this, but his first name is Tony, and his last name is in the booth.
It is.
Yeah.
Fact.
Born that way.
Dash.
Born this way. Yeah.
Born this.
Is that Dutch? Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
What I thought. And, of course, folks, you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a thumbs up while you're right there, or give it multiple thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie, if they're watching after the show stream live, what can they do?
Comment down below. You guys have been quiet lately.
Yeah.
There's quite a few videos. It's like one. I'm like, come on, y'all. You talk more normally. So talk a lot in the chat, which is great.
That's right. Of course, we'll have the chat up and running. So feel free to share your thoughts about box office in general, any of the movies that you saw recently this past weekend, or just anything in general as we kind of go along the movie road highway.
That's beautiful.
It's terrible. I said that.
You
tried. It's terrible.
No, you tried.
But first off, let's look back at the weekend that was for our top 5 films.
I'm stoked. I'm ready to go.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's get right into it, Neil.
Let's do this.
Yay! Coming in at number one, surprisingly, it barely squeaked in at number one again, and that was Avengers Infinity War. Guys, it had a 56.4% drop, though. Made
it's
a measly
pretty decent drop. It's kind of big. Bigger than I think we were expecting, because I believe we discussed it last week. We're looking at like 50s, maybe high 40s.
What does this 56.4% mean to you, Neil?
What it means to me is that it does have the second highest second weekend of all time behind The Force Awakens, but there's a big gap between what The Force Awakens had in its second weekend and what this has in its second weekend.
Mm.
Of course, analysts all believe that The Force Awakens, no matter how well Infinity War did in the first weekend, Force Awakens would do better in the long run because it didn't have so much competition in the months that followed, while Infinity War has a few more blockbusters coming out in a few weeks. But it's like this week it didn't have a lot of competition. So it's kind of it kind of shows that it's really starting to peter off for this movie here. I don't think it's going to hit that world record total that we thought it would, unless China and Russia do real well for it.
Also, it feels like less of a cultural like event than what Black Panther was, and it's not really it doesn't have that same momentum that we saw with that film alongside with this one, and it's a very interesting thing to really like study and look into, because although it's such a massive film, it doesn't have that same driving force that we saw with Black Panther. I just found that interesting.
Well, even the other Marvel movies, like, you don't leave that movie like, I'm pumped, that was awesome, like, because the others are so, like, they're different after you've seen it, you know, and talking about, like, you don't leave with that same energy, I think, so.
Well, I think it's a difference between the two films. Black Panther goes a lot deeper.
Right. Yes.
Your mileage may vary about how much you enjoy the film, but I think overall there is a deeper emotional core to that film than you find from Avengers Infinity War. That is basically you're getting your dessert. You've had like all your vegetables, everything like that you've had on all the other 19 films, and then boom, here comes the dessert. For some, they may have found it too sweet and they wanted to tap out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe when we see the conclusion next year, we'll see how that does when it's a full picture for a story. Maybe that might change how people look back on this film.
Right. Mm-hmm. Black Panther was very much the marathon that Marvel didn't know it had. where Infinity War is very much a sprint.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And it seems like they're starting to get a little tired.
Yeah, and I also feel like Infinity War didn't have too much to really, like, ruminate on, while Black Panther had so much to really, like, go into and, like, dissect, I believe. At least in my own opinion. Amy, you look a little...
I don't agree.
Amy really? Dissected nothing.
That's okay. But someone in the chat, Nella J, brings up a good point. She says, or he, I'm sorry, I think that everyone who wanted to see Infinity War more than once saw it last weekend on Thursday through Sunday, which I mean, I feel like we can all agree on that. Maybe,
I can see that.
You know, like, knocked it out three times, do not want to see it again, especially with how it ended. But I loved it. But, you know, like, if you wanted to see it, you most likely saw it, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night or whatever. You got around to it. And I think that it was so big that now it's, yeah, it's going to have a significant drop. Mm-hmm. But I also agree that you should see it more than once because there's always something to, yeah.
I'll watch it again before the next one comes out.
I mean, you can always see it, like, one more time in the theater.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill you.
Wait, you know, there's a lot. I think there's a lot to...
There's a lot to unpack in that one.
Who where went to the website to find out if Thanos would have killed you?
I did.
And how? Yes. What was everybody's results?
I hope he killed me.
Spared.
Oh, I took it twice.
Oh.
Boom.
What was your first one? That's the one that counts.
The first one, yeah, no, he didn't want me. But then he took it back the second time. He's like, you know what? Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, Amy.
No.
If everyone was just getting the same answer, like, no, he didn't want you. I didn't know if it was like a thing that that's the only result you were going to get.
Well, I was spared.
But so. Exactly. So then I found out, no,
Neil.
He really picks.
Basically,
oh, I'm gone for sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That was, and actually, that's the result that I wanted. I didn't want to have to live with the grief of dealing with people being gone. I'm like, you know what? Just let me go. Just take me away. Let me just sit in the void for like a year or two, unknowing about my own presence in space or time, and wait until someone better than me picks me up and brings me back.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I don't want any part of that that mischief.
Did you do it?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I
do you know about it?
I know about it. Okay. I just don't care enough.
That's fine.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, your goal while we do the show is to go to that and let us know how you've done.
And tell us before the show's over.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
And Amy, I do like that you really star-drewed that...
Ayo!
Why?
Wait, hold on.
Because you flip-flop between stuff and you're like, I'm going to do both. And like,
Yeah, I'm going to do both. Also, have you guys tried the whole like, oh no, I don't feel so good. It's an app. Cannot remember what it's called, but you send an image in, or like you choose an image and then it starts like fading part of you.
You did it, Amy?
That's I okay. did it, of course.
And so like, and what did you have disappear?
Huh? Well, it was just me. Oh. It was just like, oh. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh no, I don't feel so good.
Aww.
That's pretty exciting. Whatever. Call me a nerd.
Anyway.
I don't care.
All right.
Nerd, no. Mortician, maybe.
Oh, well, good question by Yusuf in the chat. Do you think that MoviePass only letting users see movies once affected ticket sales? Because you can't see a movie duplicate now.
I mean,
they're new terms and agreement.
I mean, MoviePass did not exist when The Force Awakens was out. That did not stop people from seeing it more than once.
That's true. Because you could buy it and then see it with MoviePass, and that could be your twice.
Saw it again.
Yeah. But I think possible. Could affect it a little bit.
Maybe.
Real quick, this just in. Mm. I was spared by Thanos.
Oh.
Tony, you and I survive.
Yeah.
All right. You two need to bring me back.
Save
I'm
us.
Counting on you two.
Or not.
We will. Whatever.
I'm going to relax in the void with a margarita.
All right.
And wait for you guys to get my
Are we all back. In the same?
You're in the soldier.
No, it's my void. Like, it's my void. Okay. You can have your own void.
Fine.
It's just me. I'm just.
He's in his own personal.
Mine has a nice chandelier.
Void adjacent. All right.
Void adjacent.
I think you guys are going. It ties into our next title. I think you're going a little overboard.
I appreciate that. That was good.
Considering the way we kind of, well, at least me, I did not think this film had a chance at all last week.
We all were like, me.
The little movie that could.
Yeah. And it pulled in 14.7 million at the box office.
Showed me.
Yeah.
Right in my face.
No, look at Amy over here.
Egg on my face.
All right. Of course, that was the subject of last week's box office bet. Yes. And to go to the results, we're heading over to Neil's box office corner.
Hello, it's me. Welcome to the box office corner. I'm going to tell you the bets and who won and who did not win. One person won. Four people didn't win. We'll start with the people who didn't win.
Yay.
Furthest away, the person who will have to go see Overboard the movie in theaters, which just brings me so much joy, is Amy. Cassandra Martinez. She lowballed this movie. She didn't have faith.
I'm sorry.
In Anna Faris and the abduction storyline behind it. and she bet $3 million. Next up was Carrie DeLane, who bet $6 million. Followed shortly behind Tony at 6.5. Okay. So you got to womp womp yourself there, bud. There you go.
Okay, okay.
It's like
Frank Moran almost pulled out a W on this one, but he got the W last week, so I don't feel so bad. He bet $9
million. I'll take that.
Which leaves myself as the panel winner with a bet of $10 million.
Yay!
Now, I will say, Star Drew was chatting about how he won the bet. To him, I will say... we count the panelists, but we do encourage viewers to bet. But the winners are here.
Or in the booth. And the losers right here too. So Sarah, it's fine.
And losers.
You won in my heart, Sarah.
I'm glad. I'm glad people won. That's great.
All right. So, real quick, what do you think? Because none of us really had strong feelings about this film.
Nope.
What do you think made it succeed? To get to 14.7.
Goofy comedy. There hasn't been... Well, Blockers was kind of the last one.
That was good.
Were there other goofy comedies
recently? Was it just the fact that it was a comedy, or was it some Anna Faris fans going, yeah, I gotta get in on this?
A little bit.
Maybe. Ex-husband just had a huge weekend, and they're like, oh, stupid Chris Pratt. Let's go to the movies and see Overboard and support our girl.
Or that.
Maybe.
Maybe that. I think it was mostly... just, you know, brand recognition. I think people understood that it was a remake. Maybe the target audience was people who were aware or fans of the first one, and so then they're like, yeah, I'll go see the next one.
But it's also, like, your choices in the theater this weekend were like, whoa, Infinity War, or stuff that's already been out for a while, so it's like something new, you know, that people were not so hesitant to watch, which I'm glad you guys went to the movies. Good for you.
Romantic comedy, too. We'll specify that.
Yeah, but how many people do you think...
I mean, I have a certain category in my mind of what a rom-com is, and that's
this is more like comedy with some romance.
There is no Reese Witherspoon in this one.
Exactly, Frank. Thank you.
It's already two notches down on the rom-com standard.
I am happy about this win.
I'm happy for them. I'm sad for me.
That's I don't know if I ever watch this movie, but
exactly,
probably not.
I'm happy for it. I dig it.
But Neil,
the fact that it's like a Mexican male lead role,
fair enough.
Alongside a nice American blondie, like
white girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's something to say. It came in what, second place and did more than what people thought it would do. That's a milestone, I think. Yeah.
Hashtag equality. Hashtag feminism.
That's right. There you go. How many people do you think were like jazzed? Like, oh my gosh, finally. Overboard is getting the remake it deserves.
I think a strong percentage of the box office that came in for it.
Apparently.
Who here has seen the original?
You know, I saw part of it.
I know nothing about the
original. I saw like 2 minutes of it in a break room at work once.
Oh, well, that's why you don't understand that.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I got closest, because I saw the whole movie and I get it.
I mean, I love myself some Kurt Russell, and I love myself some Kurt Russell hair, but...
He had the hair.
Hello?
Yeah.
Not Goldie Hawn.
Goldie Hawn's fine, but it's Kurt Russell all the way for me.
All right,
but Kurt Russell.
It's like
my boy.
It's like a package deal for me.
Star Lord's dad. Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Also, MacReady from The Thing,
Mr. Star Lord. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming at number three, A Quiet Place from Paramount, another $7.6 million.
Not so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Also at number four, I Feel Pretty, coming in with 4.9, rounding out the top five, Rampage. From Warner Brothers, another 4.6. Bad Samaritan, much farther down the list.
How far? How far down?
I think it was number 7.
Did anybody see that?
I think it may have been lower.
I didn't get to it, but I am interested.
Yeah, same. I'm interested. I just love haven't
David.
Seen it.
Yeah, I love David Tennant.
Yeah, I want to see him like play a bad guy. And also
Number 10.
Ooh.
Mm.
And Tully came in at number 6.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to see Tully.
So much for everybody who's thinking really high on that Charlize Theron.
Yeah, I think there's some people on this table.
That's
yeah.
my girl.
Like Amy Cassandra Martinez was like touting that Charlize Theron.
I was right there with you.
Well, and that's surprising. So where are all her
friends? Exactly. Where are the friends? And the stands? And the fans? And the friends?
Yes.
She's what Neil said. I don't know.
Why? Like, I don't know. I think she... I thought she had a much larger fan base. Surprising things, you know, happened this weekend.
Because it's interesting. Like, because Overboard had 1623 screens. Tully had 1353. Bad Samaritan had 2007. And yet it came in a distant 10th.
That's sad.
I just don't know if the company marketed it properly or they did wrong to not get a better result.
I personally haven't seen any marketing for Bad Samaritan. Yeah. I didn't know about this movie until it came up on my horror movie news show that happens every Tuesdays at 4 p.m., by the way. So nice. Plug.
Beautiful. yeah, boy.
Pretty soft plug.
I swear to God, I did not know anything about this movie until Tuesday of last week, and I was like, what? And I'm always like trying to get more horror movies on my radar, and I was disappointed in myself. But yeah, I guess the marketing was just horrid for this film. Like, I didn't know anything about it.
Well, from everything that I've read, if you love David Tennant and Jessica Jones, you will love him here in Bad Samaritan.
Oh, good.
He chews that scenery up. So, and if you love Geostorm, and this might be the film for you as well, too. Good old Dean Devlin, back here again with Bad Samaritan.
Not on list, but Neil, you saw something new.
I did. I saw Blockers in motion picture theaters this weekend.
What'd you think?
It was really funny. Really funny. I really didn't think I would enjoy it as much as I did. It was also, like, really sex positive, which was very refreshing. John Cena's daughter in the movie, I think her name is Kayla. Mm-hmm. She was amazing.
Loved her.
She was like, I'm going to get what I want and I'm going to say it out loud. And so that's the whole scene when they're like, they talk about like how they're forming like their little sex pact that they're going to do. The first girl's like, I'm going to do it because, you know, we've been dating for a while and I think we're in love and, you know, it's time. And she's like, I like that. I'm going to have sex tonight too. I'm going to have sex with that guy. And it was just like, yeah, you are so cool. So, yeah, that was great. That was actually a really cool movie.
They have, and it's nice, too, because they, like, address a few different things and like regarding sex and teenagers and even adults, too, of, like, not just this is, you know, one way to go about things. I was like, yes. Glad we said stuff like that.
Nice.
Not on the list. I saw Searching at Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. So be on the lookout for that. It's coming out in the beginning of August. It's called Searching. Stars John Cho, and it's a thriller, and it was really good. I didn't know much about it. It premiered at Sundance. I didn't get to see it there, and then here, I was like, oh, good, I get to see it. So much humor for how much, like, crazy seriousness is going on. It's a father and daughter, and, like, she goes missing. And so it's him, like, looking for her, but the whole movie is told through phones and computer screens, and like that sounds like weird or dumb, and you kind of go, oh, I don't know about that. But the beginning of the movie starts with like home videos on a computer, and then it just goes into like using FaceTime and then using chat messenger on the screen and like news coverage, and it's, you forget that you're just looking at screens, but it's just really, really good. So I highly recommend Searching.
Cool.
That sounds good. Like, it piques my interest. Just, you know,
well, because there's no movie that, like, you could really compare it to. And they had a really funny story of they kind of compared it to Unfriended. Like, that was the first thing that they're, like, kind of with formatting.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
That sounds like Unfriended.
Yeah, that's what they start with. But I think they do more multimedia compared to Unfriended, which had a little more, like, one kind of style. This one has from text messaging to instant messenger to FaceTime to phone calls and like everything, because as the dad's looking and stuff like that. But they tried to pitch to John Cho and he turned him down, and then they like kept going, like, no, really, it's hard to explain. Like, and then they locked him down to do it, and it's really good.
Cool. And he plays the daughter, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, but I interviewed the daughter, I interviewed him, and I interviewed the mom. But the thing about it that was interesting too is they made the big point that like it's a Asian American family, and John Cho was like, I've never seen a like a thriller movie like that with like a family that looks like mine. But it's one of those like, that's, it's just a normal family. Like, they don't make it like weird or a big point. It's just like, oh, cool, this is a cool family. It's just, it was a good thriller that kept you guessing, and some people after didn't get it, in terms of didn't guess the end results. There was some of it that I was like, oh, I got some of them, and I was so happy.
Well, tell us all of them right now.
No.
Spoilers.
All right. No.
But go check it out.
Yes, Anthony.
Can I just mention real quick?
Yes.
That was a really, really cool something that in the chat, Captain America said that Chris Pratt took the entire cast of Infinity War to go see Overboard.
That's cute.
Right?
Oh, that's cute.
That's nice. That's nice. Warms my heart.
That's why.
Warms my heart. 14.
Great, because there's a lot of people in that movie. It's like 155
of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
It's like 3,000 cast members.
Real quick about international numbers. Basically, they Avengers Infinity War, they've reached the $1 billion global mark in a record 11 days.
Woo.
And now it's posted an estimated running total of $1.1 million worldwide through Sunday. It has become the number five superhero movie of all time globally and has potential to top the four ahead of it, each of which are an MCU title, to become the number one film in the genre ever. Currently, 2012's Avengers is the leader at 1,518.8 million. Wow! Look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at that. So,
just look
you
at
know,
it.
Yeah, Infinity War is overall the number 15 film ever worldwide, and that's before hitting China this coming Friday. Globally, they've overtaken the lifetimes of Captain America: Civil War, The Dark Knight Rises, and The Dark Knight. So, look at that. Overseas, the Avengers assembled the second weekend that in looks like-for-like markets reps 54% drop from the $382.7 million opening weekend, which is the number two debut ever behind the Fast and the Furious. It's playing in a similar pattern to Captain America Civil War and is currently 67% ahead of that film in the same release markets.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe internationally, it seems like it's, you know, I mean, as you said, it's still got some room to grow with Russia and China in the mix. Rampage, though, still getting a little love. It got another $13.7 million this weekend in 63 markets. Right now, the overseas total is approaching almost $300 million. Currently, it's at $293.1 million. Globally, it's made $377.9 million. And Ready Player One is still playing overseas. It made $6.3 million this weekend in 56 markets. So that brings the international total to $433.6 million. And the global tally to 566.7. Look at that.
Wow.
But
nice.
Before we talk about films coming up, though, we also some hot trailer talk for a second. I know Neil saw some trailers for some movies.
I did.
He's ready to blow our minds.
We talked about those on Horror Movie News, and so I'm so glad you found those, too.
I'm so stoked. I saw both these trailers when my wife and I went and saw Blockers this weekend, which is really weird because this is, I mean, it's a rated R comedy, but I really didn't expect to see, like, rated R, like... Like, well, I'll just tell you these trailers. The first one was Hotel Artemis.
Yes.
And this trailer really took me by surprise because it starts off with Sterling K. Brown of This Is Us fame as a bank robber. And it's like Los Angeles, like 2029. I'm like, okay, that's a little bit of a weird time jump, but I'm behind it. Mm-hmm. And he does this whole robbery thing. I think he gets like winged or shot or something like that. And then he calls up someone and it's Jodie Foster. And I'm like, okay, Jodie Foster's in the movie. She runs a hotel, and it's kind of a hotel. It's more like a hospital for criminals. So I'm like, I'm kind of intrigued. It reminds me of like John Wick, how they have whatever that place is
called. The Continental?
Yeah. The Continental. Kind of like that. There's rules they have to abide by. They show like a list of the rules that are placarded on the wall. It's like you can't hurt the other guests. You have to respect the staff, the whole thing. And they show Dave Bautista. And I'm like, okay, this cast is getting pretty stacked. And then they show...
So cool, too.
Yeah. And then they show Sofia Boutella. From Kingsman: The Secret Service, Sword Legs, and then they show Charlie Day, and I'm like, what is happening? And then it rounds out with Jeff Goldblum, and then I realize it's a tower movie, it's a tower action fight future, just kill 'em up movie,
it's
and I'm
Artemis.
Like, this looks like so much fun. I couldn't believe it. It started off, like I said, and I was like, okay, cool. It's a bank robbing movie, Sterling K. Brown. That's dope. Okay, whatever. I'll watch a robbery. And then it ends up, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like one of the It's one of my most excited, like, movie trailer times of recent time.
I was watching that trailer. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Everything, I'm like, yeah, I'm here for all of this.
It checked boxes I didn't know that I had. I was like, yeah, okay, it's like The Continental. Okay, so he's in it. Oh, my God. Okay, he's in it, too. Well, it's just, you know what? I'm in. I'm in like Flynn. I'm really excited. Hotel Artemis. Guys, check out the trailer. It looks dope.
It looks so good. I'm glad they were actually in theaters because I saw both those, this trailer and the one you're about to talk about next, only on YouTube. So that's how I saw them.
Yeah. And
so
I was like,
yay, theater trailers.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of also really weird because the second one is even more unlikely to play before a comedy movie. It's called Upgrade.
Yes.
It starred, I just forgot his name. John.
I got you. Just
Travolta.
Give me a bit.
We joke that he looks kind of like.
He looks exactly like Tom Hardy.
Knock off Tom Hardy.
He looks like Tom Hardy.
He looks exactly like Tom Hardy, but he's been doing more work in the last 5 years than Tom Hardy has. Mm-hmm. He's been in like 2 James Franco movies. He was in Prometheus.
John Stamos.
Newman Rapace's love interest.
Logan Marshall Green.
From South Carolina.
He's also in The Invitation as well.
He's been in a lot of movies like just recently. Not huge ones. Like Tom Hardy has been, but he's done a lot of work, and he plays this. Paraplegic, this quadriplegic, who wants to get revenge on the people who hurt him and also killed his wife. And it's also in the future. It's like near future, and this guy comes up and says that he has like a medical upgrade for him. It's this little chip, and it goes onto your spinal cord and it connects, like repairs the connection between your body and your brain, so that he can move. Then he learns to move again, but he also realizes that the chip is an AI and starts talking to him. And he's like, if you, like, they look at the video from the security footage from when the attack happened, and he sees this tattoo, and the AI just finds the guy and gives him the address. So then he goes there to beat this guy up without a plan, and he gets his ass handed to him, and then he has to have the chip take over, and then it's just from that point on, it's just like Agent Smith from the Matrix, just fucking this guy up.
The shot where he like comes up from
the ground.
He does the fist on the ground thing.
I love that shot.
But the camera work is so original because it's
so good.
It's horizontal with him, and then he does the fist thing, and the camera tilts up with him. And I'm like, okay, all right, you have my undivided attention now.
And it has comedy too, because he's like, does anybody else hear you? And it's like, nope, just you. And then like, he goes, I have ninja skills. And the AI is kind of like, I'm not a ninja.
Yeah, I am not a ninja. Yeah, it looks like a blast. If you have the stomach for it, check out the Red Band trailer, but it's insane. The theatrical trailer is just fine if you just want to get the mood for it. It's called Upgrade. It looks fantastic. Awesome. Both of those come out in June. June 1st and June 8th. I don't know which one's which because I just remembered the numbers.
Early in June.
Both pulled up real quick. Upgrade's June 1st.
All right. Perfect.
Also, just a few weeks. Something I wanted to point out, too. The director, and he's a director-writer, is Leigh Whannell, who plays, if you guys seen the Insidious movies, he plays Specs, who's part of like that little duo of like Ghost Hunters. So he's a skinnier one. So he's an actor in that. But he's also directed just one other film. And that was Insidious Chapter 3, which was my favorite Insidious, and I think it's the best Insidious. So he's only directed Insidious Chapter 3, and he's going on to do this film, which looks fantastic. So I can only hope that he is a up-and-coming director, like writer. Like, he's more of an established writer than director, but he's making his director like mark on, at least on me personally, and I cannot wait for this film.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks great. It looks like he has a really good relationship with Jason Blum, because the Upgrade's also produced by Blumhouse. Blumhouse Tilt, which I think is their little, like, this, like Fox Searchlight of Blumhouse, I guess.
Yeah, Sky Patterson told me that that's the same studio that also did the Belko Experiment, if you guys remember that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
True, but I'm just a huge fan of trailers in general, and Upgrade is just intense. It's such a good trailer. Really well cut, really good music choice. I'm just, watch that trailer.
Yeah, it's same good. Thing as Hotel Artemis. You're like, yes, check off all these things.
Oh, very nice. I mean, speaking of trailers, like the way there's that scene still in Avengers Infinity War trailer where Cap is holding Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It plays so much better in the trailer than it ever does in the film.
Yep.
That moment just does never land quite like it does in the trailer.
That whole moment was almost like watching a train move in slow motion. And I'm like, that's not exactly fun to watch.
Yeah.
It'd be better if it was like, because they did the whole thing in slow-mo. And I'm like, okay, how about we... Like, I get it. It sort of plays like the inevitability of the scene and the inevitability of what's happening. But could we instead see everyone like in real time fighting Thanos? Because that would have been great. We saw that before. It was great. Everyone loved it. Can we also see it again? Because it's just more good. It's just more good stuff.
More good.
Also shared with Neil the Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Have you guys seen it? It looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. I know that this version of Teen Titans is beginning getting a lot of hate, but I'm really pleased that they are 100% self-aware of what they are.
They're so tongue-in-cheek.
It's really
it's
great.
So good.
Yeah. There you go.
How like they're like the Green Lantern comes up like, "Yeah, I had a movie, but we don't talk about that one anymore."
Aww.
Yeah,
room for dessert.
Good. They're like everyone can get their own movie. And it's about Robin who wants to be like seen as an actual hero in the Justice League and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really cool. It's like a cool like little funny underdog story. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Should be a good movie.
Yeah.
So coming up, we've got some films coming out next week for next week's box office bet. Those two are going to be breaking in with Gabrielle Union.
It looks great.
That one actually, yeah, that one looks really good.
Mm-hmm. And Billy Burke. There you go. sure.
Sorry. And, I was just more just because, like, when Acrimony was, like, that was a thing, and we're just like, yeah. See that trailer? I don't get pumped. Breaking in, I'm like, yes, this looks exciting. Mm-hmm. I totally want to see it. But, yeah.
And then Life at the Party with Melissa McCarthy from Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Trailer, I'm like,
yeah, yeah. You never know which Melissa McCarthy show is going to show up.
Yeah.
If it's Identity Thief Melissa McCarthy, oof, yeah.
Spy Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, then that could be good. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that lovely lady, we thought we'd make her our little subject of the box office rewind.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh. Look back at one of the stars.
I always look forward to your little...
Look forward to the
rewind sound.
Yeah, the rewind sound.
Look forward to the...
Yes! From Melissa McCarthy, coming at number five for her was Spy. 29.08 million back in 2015.
I like that movie.
I didn't see it.
It was fine.
Yeah. And Jason Statham was fun to watch in there, too. Yeah.
I honestly liked it because it was like she was sort of seen as like the bumbling idiot, and she kind of was. But then when she like got her act together, when she was like forced to like be the person that she needed to be, she was just on. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's funny and good for you. Yeah, it's
great. coming to number four, Identity Thief. Yeah, no, that was a terrible movie.
I skipped it.
I don't like either of those lead actors.
I'll be honest, I skipped it.
That's the one with her and Jason
Bateman. Skipped on purpose.
Jason Bateman.
Oh. Jason Bateman, who I enjoy, but this movie just did neither of them any favors.
Jason's Basement.
Yeah.
number four, The Heat.
I saw that.
I skipped
that
too.
That's the one with Sandy.
Yep.
I would see it for her.
I
love her.
But it's just like that. She rides that line when she's like the obnoxious Bull in the China Shop version of her. Ugh, a little of that goes a long way with me. That Heat was straddling that line.
I feel like The Heat was Miss Congeniality without the beauty pageant and with two characters.
Yeah.
Where the two Sandra Bullocks were just two different characters.
Mm. I could see that.
Coming to number two, The Hangover Part 3 from 2013, 41.6. I gotta be honest, I can't remember her in this movie.
Okay, me neither.
I can't remember
the movie at all.
I
didn't see it. I just saw 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Wait, did I see 2?
I was pretty drunk when I saw it.
And then,
good life choices.
Yeah.
I'm sure nobody's surprised about what is number one. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters. $46 million.
Okay.
I didn't see that one either.
Truth be told, like, I enjoyed the movie, but mostly it made me crave the freaking wonton soup that Melissa McCarthy's character craves. So I saw it the second time. I was like, I gotta have wonton soup when I eat this. And I was actually sick when I saw it, so I was like, this is great. So thank you,
perfect timing,
Melissa McCarthy, for bringing us, you know.
I like that movie.
Wonton soup. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing that bothers me about it is I just wish it would have been a continuation in the original universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think there was just too much.
It would have been just fine. Would have fit right in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just too much heavy lifting in making it like its own reimagining of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cameos from the originals were just terrible.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Except for the Ivan Raimi bust. That was nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Dan Aykroyd, oh, man. That was just, oof. And Bill Murray, like Ernie Hudson was the only one that came out pretty much unscathed as the uncle at the end. He was like, "All right, yeah, here you go."
Yeah,
that was cool. What did you guys think about Chris Hemsworth?
He was fine. He was good.
Oh, he was good. No, he was very funny in it.
Thing. Like it's that kind of comedy that unfortunately, like, I really, really enjoy, but it's pretty stupid. But it's just like, oh, like, do you guys remember the part where he's scratching his eye and he has glasses on?
I feel like you
want to
do the scene for us.
No.
Go ahead, do it all.
No, I don't remember it, but he scratches it and then they're like, what? He's like, oh no, I don't know. I don't remember, but I just, see, it's one of those things where you just remember having a good time and you remember those little parts of the movie. You're like, yeah, I could see it again. Yeah.
Best parts of the movie, I think, were Kate McKinnon.
She was great in there too.
Just shredding the film up.
Yes,
the whole time.
On a different note, did you guys hear about like how they spent like so much time and the money on these reshoots for this the scene where you see at the end where that's rolling in credits where they're dancing, Chris Hemsworth's dancing. That was supposed to be in the movie, and that was supposed to be a really huge set piece where like there's a ghost that makes people dance or whatever, and it costs millions of dollars to get these reshoots in, and they just used it for that credits. That's how atrocious this film is to me. I hated this film.
I hated this film. But yeah,
no, I just hate terrible movies.
I agree. It wasn't.
And also, amazing. Like the main character, like the only reason Chris Hemsworth there was to like bash on men, pretty much. Like, that's all they're doing to him.
Yeah,
it's like okay. Yeah. I'm glad he had a horror movie too. Then.
Right, but you also have to know like who's producing it and who their audience is, and that was obviously a tongue-in-cheek decision to make Chris Hemsworth like a bimbo as sort of like a statement to be like men need to deal with that because that's what women deal with all the time. So it was obviously a joke
to
their expense, which I was totally in for.
Yeah,
I mean Paul Feig said that he'd still love to do another sequel.
I don't know if that's. Oh yeah, necessary.
he stood by it. He like completely loved it.
Yeah, I just I would have been someone more jazzed. If we could have had actually Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, maybe you get Bill Murray again, but to come back as the original characters, as they're, you know, helping them out on a new mission.
Force Awakens, that shit.
Yes, that would have been so much better.
To go find
Peter Venkman.
We need to go find Venkman.
Like, would have worked.
He's in hiding. He's on an island. That actually would be pretty good.
It's true.
Yeah, they
just, you know, she just hands the other.
You know what? Let me just call it Polly Feig, and I'll run this by him and see if he likes it.
All right.
Hey, yo, Feigy.
Yeah. Feigit!
They just dance. Yeah.
Feigit!
Neil, you're fantastic. That was great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we do our box office breakdown, feel free to start betting away, placing your votes in the chat, about if you'd like to see us bet on Breaking In, which is going to be from Universal on 2,500 screens, or Life of the Party from Warner Brothers and New Line with 3,500 screens. But in the meantime, while you're doing that, we're going to do what we think our top five for next week will be.
I don't think I should say what my top five is anymore.
Why?
You
should.
Just because last week was so bad. Really? All right. Let's do this. Okay.
No, just don't go overboard.
No. Okay. Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. I think we all agree on that one.
Really? With Life of the Party coming out?
I know.
It's only 3,500 screens.
It's going to be Life of the Box Office.
But I feel Life of the Party could surpass Overboard, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And the next thing is, though, Life
also,
of the
Party. Also, wait. This weekend, this one coming up, it's Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So both of those are kind of very different, but both of those are mom movies.
Both are mommy. Yeah.
So that's going to be a bigger push to go see movies.
Like, which one are you more likely to take your mom to?
I mean, I'm gonna try
breaking
to
in.
Breaking in.
Breaking in for sure. Yeah, she's love
because
it.
Well, because yeah. Well,
you want your mom cool enough to go to Breaking In, but you feel like you're gonna end up at Life of the Party.
No, my mom would like it. She would lean over halfway through and be like, "That's really cool, but I would never do that to save you guys ever."
I'm so
ever,
sorry, but no.
Ever. No. I would not. I would just give up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right. So Infinity War, then
Infinity War, Breaking In. Life of the Party, Overboard, and Quiet Place.
I can't argue with
Boom.
That one.
Okay, I'm doing.
All right,
I'm doing that, but switching Life of the Party and Breaking In,
okay.
Just to be positive and hope for the best that people will go to what looks like a better movie.
Shots fired!
As you were
saying
that,
Carrie,
guys, I'm
going to keep it real.
While you were saying that, I was reading off Courtney's selection, and it was exactly the same.
I was not even looking.
That's right.
What's up? Like,
did you copy this?
No,
that's right, Courtney.
That was weird.
You guys can see I was just looking in here and looking at my phone.
She was intensely
looking.
But
Courtney does Breaking In, then Life of the Party. So Courtney and I are on the same team.
Oh, I thought that was.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, it was. Oh,
it's Amy.
My dyslexia is
But Xavier is.
Oh, that's different. It's Quiet Place and Overboard switched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neil?
Interesting.
What you got, Neil?
Let's see here. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to hope for the best and say I agree with Amy. With Avengers, Breaking In, Life of the Party.
No. Life of the Party first.
No, with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you said you said Life of the Party, then Breaking In.
No, you said that.
Wait, are you going Breaking In first?
Yes. You said Life of the Party first, guys.
Okay, then.
No, you said Life of the Party because
you figured...
Yeah,
you were Life of the Party.
No, I said the better movie is Breaking In.
you said Life of the Party because you would hope that people would go
to a better movie, and that's why I was like, "Whoa, wait,
no, is you that did, what you heard?"
That, I don't
know. Yes, that's what we heard.
Let me just clear this up. I want Breaking In to be in number two.
Me yes. too.
Same.
That's me where
same.
Everyone I think
no, that's
is.
What I, that's what I said.
Guys.
That's we don't.
I don't even know.
We don't have to. I mean, we all agree. We just said we all agree. So
we all agree.
Okay. Avengers Breaking In,
Life of the Party. Overboard,
Quiet Place.
Yes.
All right.
Fantastic. Now, I mean, the fact that Breaking In is on 1,000 less screens than Life of the Party, do you feel like that's going to make that more of a difficult climb?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course. Well,
but impossible.
But that, not impossible, no.
Okay. Anything's possible after Overboard got 14.
Yeah, I so like it. Xavier says, Tony, run the tape. Yes, I know, right? Everybody watching this later is going to be like, well, guys, that's what you said.
Guys, obviously.
I know. Yeah.
There you
what
go.
About you, Frank?
No. We'll never know, will we?
No, please.
Well, I said it, and then he agreed, and then there was
so then
a discrepancy.
We all have
yes,
the same.
We all exactly agree.
Until Amy goes back and watches that.
Yes!
She
it's the Mandela effect.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
All right. It is time for us to do our box
and Breaking In one.
Bet. Breaking In. Revenge is a mother.
Praise be. I can't wait to lose this bet.
That's right.
It's a perfect you know what I'm saying? Like Mother's Day movie.
That's what I mean. Like, that one, I'm like, yes. That one looks so cool.
Right. Mama bear protecting your cubs.
Right? Nothing don't mess with her.
I thought you said cups for a second.
Don't mess with my cups.
That dishware is not as important as her offspring, my man.
It kind of reminds me of Kidnapped. With Halle Berry. Not that I saw it, but I saw the trailer.
I heard that was pretty bad.
There you go.
So we got...
I've heard the title. Not that I've
seen
it.
The trailer.
I saw a billboard.
Sky Patterson says 10.5. Xavier says 13.5.
That's right. I forgot we got a bet on it.
Sky Patterson says 10.5. A lot of .5s, people. All right.
I'm going to go
Ken Jack says
13.
Okay.
All right.
It's a Mother's Day movie.
Again, Gabrielle Union. Billy
Janet
Burke.
Janet Mouse says 12.
Yeah, Gabrielle Union has all like her fans.
Dude,
from,
I'd say.
What's that
break,
one?
That
show? You know that show?
Is
on BET, I believe.
Yeah, oh. The show.
That was canceled.
I was going to say, no, Bring It On. Come on.
I mean, I wouldn't go see a movie. Isn't it like,
oh, Being Mary Jane. She has all that fandom from Being Mary Jane. Okay. They want. I'm sure they want
to see it. Star Drew says 12.5. Yusuf says 13.5.
You know, I like that number, Star Drew.
Those are two.
I know, so I picked
so
right
which
in the middle.
Oh,
I said 12.5.
Oh, 12. I like that number. All right, I think
come
I'm,
on, Frank.
I'm locked in.
All right, there you go. I'm in. Anthony, lay it on us.
Yeah, I gotta say the average of what Star Drew provided. 12.5. I'm going with that.
All right.
Okay. Let me write that down real quick.
Neil with the deal?
That Neil is me.
Deal.
Right here I have a cool 17 million.
Ooh, I like that.
Look, I'm shooting for the roof, you guys.
Yeah.
I'm getting up there.
Yeah.
Amy Cassandra Martinez.
13.5.
Nice.
Ooh. Everyone's on the .5.
I know.
Yeah,
we're influencing.
What's the deal?
16.5.
Whoa.
Coming up close to the roof.
Look, I'm at 13.
Wait, am I at the end?
You're at the end, Anthony.
Yes.
Oh, my. I'm not nervous.
You and me, mofo.
Wait, what'd you
what
bet?
Did you say?
17.
Oh, dang. Okay. So
he's
the
highest, followers. And then Frank's
I'm the lowest. I'm
almost
12.5,
lowest.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 point.
Which is fine by
almost.
Me. Almost.
Yeah.
Is a great place to be.
12.5, 13, 13.5,
16.5,
17.
Yes.
Love
it's
it.
Fun. It's pretty tight.
I do want to watch that movie, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I wanted to see it anyways,
I'm down for that.
It's these sort of bets that I'm like, screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? I'm going to see it anyway. Forget about it.
Yeah, forget about it. Huh?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But you know what? The fun doesn't stop here. It's just getting started.
It keeps going?
It keeps going. Because
oh my
you know
gosh.
What? You can like us on Facebook.
Wow.
Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give it a bunch of thumbs up while you're there. Just thumbs all
look
over the place
thumbs.
There. And Carrie, if they're watching this after we stream live, what question would you like to answer? Have them answer on the comment thread?
Which one of those two movies are you seeing for Mother's Day?
And where would they place
Mother's
those
Day
comments?
Weekend, too. You'll be commenting down below.
I love it. And if you want to continue the conversation with any of us, even after the show's over, I know that Star, Drew, and Neil love to have just a nice hearty
chit-chat.
Yes.
Hearty chit-chat.
Hearty chit-chat.
I love how Star Drew's like, this is how you vote, guys. This is how you bet, guys. I was like, okay, nice. Star Drew.
I feel good about bets now.
One, it's one number, Star Drew. It's what? It's a one not, number bet. It's
not
a range.
For Star Drew.
Yes.
Not for Star Drew.
Anthony, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_. I got my little lower third right there for you. Oh, TonyBTony _ on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, find me.
Oh, look at that. Neil?
Hey, that's me. You can find me and talk to me if you want to on places where people are found at the Neil Plumley. That's TheNeilPlumley. Check it out.
And you guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra.
MTZ.
There you go. You just did it for me. No, that's great. Thank you.
Beautiful.
And you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. Follow me on YouTube. No, that's the same thing. Follow me on Twitter. Whatever. All that jazz. Just find me.
And
find
her. She's awesome. And if you worried, like, should I follow Amy? I don't know. Am I cool enough? Kristen Chenoweth followed Amy Cassandra Martinez.
Yeah.
That's true.
She's
coming up, guys.
I'm freaking out.
It's awesome.
If it's good enough for Kristen Chenoweth, it's good enough for you.
It's good enough for the chins.
With those heels, because
we were... See,
they make a tight joke in
go
the video, so, you know.
She's my home skillet. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. So, you guys can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And then stay tuned, because I'll be posting links on Twitter for my interviews at the opening night red carpet at Los Angeles Asian Pacific Film Festival. Talked with director, producer, and lead actors, except for John Cho wasn't there, unfortunately, because he's working on a movie, for Searching, as well as Leonardo Nam from Westworld. So stay tuned for those interviews.
He's on The Grudge, that's why. John Cho, doing The Grudge, remember?
Oh, well, there's that, yeah.
There you go. I saw Carrie working hard, cutting up that content to deliver it right to your eyeballs later on.
Ooh.
Yep, I saw that happening. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, or don't. None of these folks do. They're smart.
We do. What you talking about, Willis?
That's not true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
At Happy Go Jackie. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us here at Box Office Break, and we'll see you back here next Sunday night. Until then, go see some movies.
See
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.